on the bottom last line of Samach Amud Beis, V'loi b'yachid b'zman she'in barag lei makah. You cannot have a one shoe. And the reason Rashi brings down two reasons back in the Mishnah, either because everybody's going to think that you're carrying the other shoe, or because they'll laugh at you and you'll pull off the shoe that you do have and walk with it carrying. So, says the Gemara, so it's either a suspecting, either it's a Maras Ayin type of issue, or it's not a Maras Ayin issue, it's rather just something that was very likely to cause you to carry. So the Gemara says, Hayesh baragle maka nafik b'hai, nafik. But it's mashma that if you do have a wound on one of the feet, then it would be permitted for you to go out. Says the Gemara, b'hai minayhu nafik, on which one are you going out with? What? Which one is the one that says that if you have a wound on your foot? So which is the one that you're going out with? So Amar of Huna, ba'isa shiyesh b'maka. You go out with the shoe on the foot that has the wound. So a person has this like big, you know, his broken foot or whatever it is. So he has this big bandage. So on that shoe, he's able to go ahead. On that foot, he's able to go ahead and put a shoe. So Alma, what we see is Kosovar, he holds that sandal, a shoe, is l'shum tsar of it, is done in order to prevent any pain as one walks. And therefore, it's done only if a guy is sensitive on that foot. But, so therefore, if he has a makkah, he'll put it on. So now, it's not shver. Anybody who sees you walking with one shoe will not suspect you of carrying the other shoe, nor will they laugh at you, causing you to pull off the shoe, because everybody will see that, oh, you have a wound on that foot. And therefore, that's the reason why you're carrying. That's the reason why you're carrying. That's the reason why you're only wearing one shoe. You want to know why you're only wearing one shoe? Because you only have one makkah, Baruch Hashem. And therefore, if you do have a makkah, you're going to be wearing the makkah. You're going to be wearing the shoe on that foot. No, the shoe is to be worn on the foot that does not have a wound. Alma, we see, Kasavri, he holds the shum tanuk of it. That shoes are done for, not to prevent pain, and therefore you would wear it on a wounded foot, but rather to help, it, in other words, just as a positive thing. It's for a good thing, mishum tainuk. And therefore, when it says that if you have a wound on a foot, you're not going to put the shoe on, that's because you're not going to put the shoe on the foot that has the wound, and the wound was going to prevent you from putting on these shoes, and they're not going to suspect you then of carrying it, or of carrying the other shoe. They'll understand that before you left your house, you took off, you only came out with one shoe, which I think might be more nogea nowadays. I think most people without wounds on their feet wear shoes, and occasionally you see the person, with the broken foot, or the bandage, but that does not have the shoe on that foot. So I would say that society has definitely gone with this second mahalach these days.
According to the first mahalach, everyone else...
Sounds like they wouldn't be wearing shoes. Yeah, it sounds like that, right? That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Well, Rashi says that the reason why you wear it is to prevent pain, so that you do not get hurt by the sticks and stones and things in the field, and therefore a person who's wearing it, a person who understands that a person who is only wearing one shoe and he has a wound on that foot, they'll understand that generally this guy is strong enough that he doesn't need it. So I don't know if everybody was going barefoot. It's even possible that most people were not going barefoot, but the reason why you wore shoes was to prevent more pain. So it was normal for a person who had hard feet to go around without shoes, because he didn't need to prevent more pain. He was fine, except on the foot that had a wound. However, the other mandamar hold that no, you wear shoes because you want more, not because you're scared of the pain of the ground, but rather just as a taina, because if you get a chance to wear these Nike Air shoes, you'll wear them. That's what it sounds like. So I think according to both opinions, most people are wearing shoes. The question is it to prevent pain or is it just because it's gishmak? That's the difference. V'af Rabbi Yechanan savar l'halacha de Rav Huna. Rabbi Yechanan also held like this din of Rav Huna. Da'amalei Rabbi Yechanan, the Rav Shaman bar Abba, havli misnoi. Rav Yochanan asked Rav Shem Rabba, can you please give me my shoes? Yahavilat, do you mean? He gave him his right shoe. Omar Lei, he said to him, Asisumaka. You made it as if you made it as if. Now he gave him the right shoe. The Gemara understands at this point that Rabbi Yochanan held that you're supposed to put on the left shoe first, and since you put on the left shoe first, and you gave him the right shoe, so if you give him the right shoe first, he's not going to be putting on the left shoe. So by just putting on the left shoe, by just putting on the right shoe, you're making it as if the right foot has a makkah. So therefore, this is like the first opinion, Rav Huna's opinion, that you wear the shoe on the foot that has a makkah. So the Gemara says, what's the raya? Maybe what he meant was, at first the Gemara thought that from the grammar, you made the foot that you gave me into as if it has a wound. The Gemara says, maybe he just meant you made my body, in other words, my left foot, as if I had the wound. We understand that you're going to be going out with only one shoe. That's what he meant to say. Okay, so you're going out with only one shoe. But which one has the makkah? That one, he didn't say. So therefore, the Gemara says, maybe it's not a raya. Maybe, well, Gemara says, it's a small makkah. You made my left foot have a makkah. As Rabbi Yechanan l'tamein, Rabbi Yechanan goes according to his reasoning. Dam Rabbi Yechanan kitfilin. Rabbi Yechanan holds that shoes are like tefillin. Kach minalin, that so too should you put on your shoes. Ma tefillin b'smal, just like by tefillin you put it on your left and you honor the left. So too af minalin b'smal. So too by shoes you put on the left one first. Meisvei abraisa kishu noyel noyel shel yamin. And when a person's putting on shoes, he puts on the right one first. And afterwards, he puts on the left one. A brisa, not like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yosef says, "Hashta the Tanya Hachi." Now that we have a brisa which says right first, Rabbi Yochanan says left first. So you could do whatever you want. The Avad Hachi Avad. If you do it this way, you do it. The Avad Hachi Avad. And if you do it the other way, you're also being Yitzchak. But the place can point out that you got to do one way all the time. You could either be a right person or a left person, according to this Gemara. So you can't just do a different thing every day. Omar Le Abaye. Dilma, Abaye says, how do you know? There's a Braisa and there's a Rabbi Yechanan. Maybe Rabbi Yechanan would have been chayzer if he heard the Braisa. Dilma Rabbi Yechanan, Hamastisin Le Havi Shamile. He didn't hear this Mishnah. But V'i Havi Shamile, but if he heard of it, Havi Hadar, but he would have been chayzer. V'i Nami Shamile, or maybe he did hear of it. And he said, oh, I know that Mishnah is not to be trusted. Because Sava Ein Halacha is the Mishnah. So how do you know? Just because of Braisa and Rabbi Yechanan, you could do what you want. Omer of Nachman by Yitzchak, and this is how we paskin. Yorei Shemaim Yitzi Yidei Shtein. Yorei Shemaim could be Yitzi both the Braisa and Rabbi Yechanan. Umani, and who is that? Yorei Shemaim Yitzi Yidei Shtein, but this is how we paskin. Umani, Mar Breit Ravina, and that was Hechi Ovid. What did he do? Sayim the Yamine, he put on his right foot, his right shoe first. Veloy Kata, but he didn't tie it. So now he's carrying the Braisa by putting on the right one first. Vesayim the Smother, then he put on his left foot, shoe. V'kater, and then he tied the left one first, because that's like tefillin. Because tefillin, you're tying. So that's like tefillin. So he adopted Rabbi Yochanan's practice, and he adopted the Bryce's practice. His mother, v'kater, v'hadar kater dimin, and then he went back to the right one, and he tied it, and that is indeed the way it's brought down on Shulchan Aruch. Amar Vashi, chazina l'Rav Kahana, d'loy kapid. I saw Rav Kahana that he wasn't makvid. The machlokes is exactly what this means. He wasn't makvid. Does it mean like Rabbi Yochanan? Does it mean like Rabbi Yosef that you could do what you want? Or does he mean that he wasn't makbir b'chlal? Benkach or benkach, it's brought down that l'chadchila one should go ahead and tie his left shoe first. And of course, if a person doesn't, this is a mahalach. It's a nice thing. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's not a mitzvah.
Both men and women, women also should be doing this, right?
I think so. But if you don't have, I'm saying, yeah, I guess if a woman has ties on her shoes also, if she's wearing running shoes or something like that. They don't have these, like, dress shoes that...
Right, yeah.
It's just like, you know... So, Tan Rabbanan Kishu Noyel Noyel Shel Yamin V'achar Kach Shel Smol. When you tie your... When you put on your feet, when you put on your shoes, you put on your right shoe, and afterwards your left shoe. When you take off your shoes, you take off your left one first, and afterwards you take off the right. Kishu reichetz, when you wash your body, reichetz shel yamin, you wash the right side first, v'achakach reichetz shel smol, and afterwards you wash your left side. Kishu sach, and when you're putting on oils also, work on the right side before the left side. Sach shel yamin, v'achakach sach shel smol. V'haretz alasuch kol gufa, and somebody who wants to smear the whole body, sach roishe tchila, he should do his hair first, his head first, because it is the king of all of his Evarim. Interesting. I wonder also if you have, I'm not sure if there is some sort of delay in my video today. I wonder also if you have if you're doing it to somebody else. Let's say you're helping an older person get dressed, or you're helping your kids get dressed, or let's say, whatever, you know, so you're washing somebody, you're washing your kid. Is there an Indian in washing the right side before the left side? Is this also by somebody else? I'm not sure. I'd imagine.
I put on my kids' shoes, my little kids, I try to do this and I tell them.
Right. Oh, so Altschinuch for sure. Altschinuch for sure, yeah. That's for sure. Kedai to do it al chinuch. I'm saying, but let's say let's say there's no chinuch or whatever. Is this inyan even is by yourself or is it on other people else? I'm not sure. Okay, let's continue on. V'loy b'tfilin. Amar of Safra. Letei ma'li b'demanda amar Shabbos lav zman tfilin hu. Do not say according to the man. It says you're not allowed to go out with tfilin. Says the Gemara. Not only according to the man amar that says Shabbos is not as man tfilin. Because there's a machlokes in the Gemara in Menachos whether or not Shabbos is man tefillin or not. It's also a sugi in Erevin. Whether it's a machlokes whether or not you're supposed to be wearing a tefillin on Shabbos. So this that you can't go out with tefillin is not only according to the one who says you shouldn't be wearing tefillin. Ella, I feel the man damer Shabbos man tefillin. Even according to the man damer who says that Shabbos is his man tefillin, lo yatz. You should not go out with tefillin. Why? Because Dilma Silasib Rosh Hashanah, you might come to carry it in Rosh Hashanah. You may need to feel the need to take it off. And what are you going to do? You might come to carry it. So therefore, you shouldn't go out with tefillin, even if you're supposed to be wearing tefillin. The Ika Damasni Law Asefa. Those that say this statement went on the Seifa. It says in the Seifa, V'im Yatza Eine Chayev Chatos, if you do go out, you're not Chayev Chatos. And Amr of Safra, Loi Tema Aliba Damana, if you do go out with tefillin, it's only an Issa Durabanan, it's not an Issa Duraisa. Says the Gemara. Even if you ask Amar of Safra, Leitema Libu Demanda Amar Shabbos Man Tefillin, not only according to the Manda Amar, who says that Shabbos is a time for Tefillin, because of course you're not carrying then, you're wearing your Tefillin. Ella Afilu Demanda Amar Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin, even according to the one who says that Shabbos is not a Zman Tefillin, and therefore you should not be wearing Tefillin today. Nevertheless, if you walk out with Tefillin on, it's still not carrying. Ein Echayv Chatos My Time, because Derech Malbush Avida, because that's the way that you're wearing clothes. And Mamela, it's you're wearing it. You're right, there's no need for me to wear it today, but I'm still wearing it. This is in contrast to tzitzis. Tzitzis, if you're walking in the street and you see that there is one of your tzitzis strings falls off. So the halacha is, you are now wearing a four-cornered garment with only three tzitzis on it. So, with regards to Hilchas tzitzis, there's nothing to do. The Torah says, put tzitzis on your four-cornered garments, and I can't, because it's Shabbos. So, with regards to the Hilchot Mitzvahs for tzitzis, you're doing nothing wrong. I have a mitzvah theorizing to do it, but I have an Isser of Shabbos, so I can continue wearing my talis on Shabbos. If I'm in a house, I can continue wearing my talis on Shabbos, even if it only has three strings. Even though during the week, I would be usher to wear it. For example, my kids have a talis. I don't even know why I bought it. I don't know what I was thinking. But my kids have a talis that they have. It's a toy talis. And it's part of a toy, you know, a whole set. And there's no tzitzis on it. It's usher for them to wear it. I don't let them wear it. I should really just throw it out because it's a michshol. But you can't wear a garment, a four-cornered garment, if it doesn't have tzitzis. But on Shabbos, you could. Why are you allowed to on Shabbos? Because the Torah says, put tzitzis on, and I can't. So what do you want me to do? The Torah says, okay, so I'm allowed to wear it today. However, if I go out to Rosh Hashanah, I'm carrying this string. This string I'm going to be carrying. And therefore, it's usher, and so if I'm under Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, I have to take off my talis. Even if it's the only thing I'm wearing. Because it's an Issur D'oraisa to carry. It's the... This, well, you could probably just stay in place. Like, I'm going to just stay in place. I could probably just stay in place. You know, one of the big regrets I have is a guy came over to me during davening once and said, he said, remember I asked you some questions about Hilchos Shatnez? Anyways, the kitzer, he says, he showed me the label on his suit. It said 50% wool, 38% linen. He says, what should I do? So I said, you have a big, yeah, you're wearing Shatnez. You have to, this is, to quickly take off the jacket and run to the bathroom, take off the pants. Now, I knew the halacha was that l'maisa, you have to take off the pants there also. And, but l'maisa, you know, in the heat of the moment, I said, run to the bathroom. To this day, I regret it, because the halacha is that you have to take off your pants right there. And this is the one guy that would have been so happy to pull down his pants in public. He would have been like, oh, the rabbi told me to do it. It would have been gewaldig. And we would have made a kiddush Hashem. Guy in front of the shul, in the middle of everybody. He pulled down his pants. Everybody would have been talking about it for years. And this is the one guy that would have been able to do it. So to this day, I feel bad that I, under the heat of the moment, I told him to go to the bathroom.
Rabbi, normally by carrying, there's, you know, from way back we learned, there's pick up, lower, put down.
Right.
But by wearing, where's the pick up, put down?
Excellent, excellent question. That's an excellent question. The answer is that when I'm sitting here right now, so my tefillin is not a great example because my tefillin, it's considered I'm wearing it. But let's say I was wearing, so even puzzle tefillin, we're saying that it's not carrying. Let's just say I have something in my pocket or something. So it's resting on me. As soon as I start walking, it's as if I picked up my whole self from the ground. And then I start to walk. So because I picked up myself and I'm no longer resting and that item's on me, it's as if I picked up that item also. So the actual start to walk is the A, and then the walking is the B, and then the stopping to walk is the C.
If you're realize while you're walking...
If what?
If you're walking, let's say you're going to shul and you realize that, oh, my talus is puzzle or I've got something in my pocket or whatever, if you immediately turn around and go home... You never did the A.
That's correct. Well, you did because you left your house, but you never did a B in Rishas, a C in Rishas Arabim, since you never stopped walking. You did an A because you started. You were sitting in your house, and then you started to walk. So that was the A. You started a B because you walked Dalaramas, you walked out, but you walked into the next. You never did a C. So that is correct. That is correct. If you never stopped, then you can continue without. Yeah, that is correct.
So I guess you come to like a stoplight, and so you have to walk around in circles.
Yes.
Until,
Actually, the really hard part that is not so difficult. The really hard part is getting to. Let's say you got to a shul. So how do you stop to punch in the code? That's the really hard part. You have to either walk really slowly towards the thing as you like try to punch in the code, or like walk around and push another digit. Work around and push another digit. Yeah, you got to think of out of the box for that one.
Rebbe, what's the difference between the tefillin and the kippah?
Well, there's taka no difference.
Resting on your head.
No, there's taka no difference. Tefillin is considered. You're wearing it.
But you said you can't. Once you get up, and you're moving from place to place.
Right. Yeah. So tefillin. That's why I said tefillin is not a good example, because tefillin is considered as if you're wearing it. That's what the Gemara is saying now. Yeah. Now, tefillin is asa derabbanan, though, for a different reason. Because maybe you'll need to go to the bathroom or whatever, and you'll take it off. Maybe somebody wants to schmooze, and you're the mak, but not the schmooze of the tefillin. Whatever reason you may have, but there's a lot of reasons to take off your tefillin, and not many reasons to take off your yarmulke. So therefore, tefillin are taka asar. But you should know that that some people don't wear yarmulkes in Rosh Hashanah. Briskers do not wear yarmulkes. Because they hold that if they're wearing a hat, there's no need to wear a yarmulke. And they don't wear yarmulkes. They have a special yarmulke in shul, and they have a yarmulke at home, and they only wear the hat. All right. Okay. So now.
Thank you.
Says the Gemara, "V'loy b'kameh b'zman she'ina min ha-mumcha," not with an amulet if it is not done by a professional. This Amar of Papa Loitema ad the I was preparing this yesterday, so I have nightmares from this Gemara because these two Taisusim here, these three Taisusim ad afalgav and afalgav are so difficult. And I was like, oh no, not this sugya. And I read the Gemara, and I'm like, oh, that was pretty simple. And then I remember, like, the horror comes from those Taisusim. But if we're not touching the Taisusim, then we're good. So, V'levi kameh v'smach enimcha. Amar ha-papa, le'tema ad demumcha gavra umumcha kameh. Do not say, it says that you cannot walk out unless the kameh is written by a professional. Don't say that you need both. Now, as follows. These kameas, what they are again, are a series of letters and things of Kabbalistic letters and that you write down, Shemus of Hashem, Aleph Beis, and things like that, that are supposed to ward off either evil spirits or Ayin Haras or Nisyoinus and different... you know, shade them, and you wear it around your neck. Like I told you, there's people who write them in Chicago, so you see people wearing it. Most of them wear it under the shirt, so in order to make sure they can get a job. But there's two things. You can have, it's sort of like, there's no such thing as like FDA approval for these things. So you could have one Rav who decides that, okay, let me try this shame, and mix in a little Aleph Beis here, and, you know, a bit of this, a bit of that, and let's try it. So there's such a thing called mumcha kameya, meaning if the kameya itself is already known to be a working kameya. Yes, it is known that this tziruf of Shemus, if you put an aleph and a gimel together with whatever, it will work. So that's called it's considered a mumcha kameya, where the kameya, where this series of letters is already known to work. Then there's something called mumcha gavra, meaning that the person is a professional letter writer, a professional kameya writer. He doesn't write, he never, it's possible for him to decide to make up a new one. So now he's a professional. So we'll trust his authority because he's a professional. We'll trust his authorities because he's a professional, but he's not. But this one that he's tried is never been done before. So that's called mumcha gavra. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, leitema ad mumcha gavra umumcha kameh. In order for you to be allowed to walk out in Rosh Hashanah, you do not need both mumchas. You do not need both a professional writing one that has already been tried and tested. Once you're coming from a professional, even if he's not doing one that's tried and tested, it is permitted. I'll prove it to you also. It says, not with a kameh, if it's not from a professional. It doesn't say, as long as it's not and when it's not from a professional. We see from here that either one or the other is fine.
You don't do the
Tosos
now?
Right. it's a set of these three tastes. But I know probably we'll skip it for now. Maybe next cycle. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Ezehu Kameya, what is considered a Kameya? Ezehu Kameya Mumcha, what is a Kameya Mumcha? Kol Sheripa, if it healed, Vishana, and it died twice, Vishalish. That is considered a professional kameya, a tried and tested one. Echad kameya shel ksav, whether it is one that is written, like I said, like they use different shemas. Echad kameya shel ikrin, and usually there's no shema of Hashem itself. Echad kameya, actually, I really don't know, to be honest. I'm not a professional writer. Echad kameya shel ikrin, and or one that is made of herbs and spices and things like that. And you're allowed to wear it. Echad shechayla sheyesh bei sakana, whether it is a sick person that has a sakana and he's doing it to heal himself, echad chayla she'ein sakana, whether it's not such a sick person, it's just a regular, you know, he's got migraines or whatever it is, loy shenichba, not only that, not that, even if he's wearing it, that, ela shelo yichbe, not that he's already falling to the ground, but rather to prevent him from falling to the ground. So this is epilepsy, I believe. I believe that's what we usually translate it as. So even if you're not currently suffering, but you're wearing it so that you don't ever get it, that's also okay. V'kosher umater, afilu b'rishas rabim, you're allowed to tie it and untie it, even in rishas rabim. U'bavad shalik sherenu, so long as you do not tie it b'shir u'betaba'as, on a necklace or on a ring. Why? This is because...
it translates, our scroll says bracelet or a ring.
A bracelet or a ring. It's other, it's a bracelet. It's other, it's a mitt. I'm sorry, it's a bracelet. You're correct. The reason is because we don't want it to be that people are going to think that it's like a charm bracelet. You know how you have these charm bracelets with a bracelet with a bunch of little cute things hanging on it. So people will see you wear it with a bracelet, and they'll think like, "Oh, it's a charm. It's a charm. It's part of a design or whatever," and therefore they'll think that you are doing a. They'll think that you're carrying midrabanan. So therefore, you can't.
You do want it on a necklace.
So you don't want it on a something that could be confused with jewelry. So anything that can't be confused with jewelry. So if it's on a necklace that's not confusable with jewelry, then it would be fine. But on a bracelet, it could be like a charm bracelet or whatever, then it would be not.
How would you wear it?
So probably you're wearing like a necklace. That's probably what it means. Okay. So long as, because then people will suspect you of having as being a charm bracelet or a charm ring. And it's not. It's something that you're wearing not, so as not to get sick. Says the Gemara Vahatanya, we have a brisa, Ezehu Kameh Mumcha. What is a Kameh that is a professional culture? Ripa Gimel Bnei Adam Ke'echad. If it healed three people. Now it says, before it was Mashma, even the same person. It healed him three times. Here in this brisa, it sounds like three different people. Says the Gemara Loikasha, Halam Chuye Gavra, Halam Chuye Kameh. This that it says three different people, it means three different illnesses, Rashi says. And it's talking about three different types of kameas. And therefore, the main thing we want is, in that brice which says three different people, is to make the guy writing it into a professional. You become a professional by being successful three different times in three different illnesses. If you write the same kamea three times, then you may become a professional specifically for that command, but you're not a professional overall. To be a professional overall, you need to have three successful cases under your belt.
Would he be allowed to write a Kamea?
No, actually, that's an interesting question. There was a big shaila about that a couple hundred years ago, maybe 150 years ago, maybe 200 years ago, around there, where somebody was asked to write a command Shabbos, and there was a tzad to say yes, and there was a flurry of letters back. No way, it's usur. And it became a big, it's a big nidan, it's a sugya, whether or not refua al yidei segula is mutar on Shabbos. So actually, I believe, are you familiar with this person who comes to Chicago every now and then that heats up lead in order to prevent ayin hara?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So the Shulchan Aruch Harav discusses whether or not you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, like heat up the lead on Shabbos. And so it became a big shaila whether or not refua, which is totally al yidei segula, which is what these things are, if it's permitted to violate Shabbos for them.
Was there an answer?
Without remembering the whole sugya, if I remember correctly, the consensus was pretty much no, you're not allowed to. The question is, though, what happens if it's mamash a guarantee? Let's just say, nowadays I don't believe in any of it. I'm very anti these things. But
if someone gives you a kameya to wear, but you don't really believe, but like all these people, they go, it's such a good thing, does it matter for you to wear it out?
That's a great question. Yeah, you probably can't. That is a good question. Probably not. I remember I went to the coastal once, and the guys, you know, I gave him a shekel. So he's like, here, take a red string, take a red string. I'm like, no, I don't believe in these things. He's like, take a red string, let me alone, this is my bracha. I'm like, you know what, just put it on my hand, goodbye. So I put it on the hand. I go to the next person, I give him a shekel. He's like, mazal yadecha, ze avodah zarah, take it off. And I'm like, take it off, I don't care. You know. Anyway, so...
Can you say that this is because of Chazaka is three?
Yeah. So by doing it three times, correct.
We've had in other Gemaras in the past that it's a machlokas whether Chazaka has to be three.
Probably it would. The other opinion who says four or two, I'm saying there was two different opinions, they would reflect here too. Probably. Probably, that would be my guess. It's a good point. It's the chayr subject of machlokas. I'm just scanning Taisim quickly to see if he mentions that. Yeah, there's a lot of hard Taisim here. I don't know. It's a good point. L'chaira, it should make a difference. Okay. So that's to make the guy a professional. However, and halam chuyi kameya. This one, where it says that if you heal once, twice, and three times, which is mashma, even the same person, there it's talking about one illness, and it healed three times. Whether it's one or three, it doesn't really matter, but it means to make the kameya a tried and tested kameya. So therefore, even if a different person would write it, nevertheless, this lachash, this, it's called a lachash, this formula would work. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa Pshitali, it's pasha to me that Tlas Kameya, Tlas Kavri. Three Kameyas, three amulets to three different people. Talasa Zimni, and he did it three separate times. So it's three different Kameyas to three different people. So one is suffering from influenza, one is suffering from corona, and one is suffering from, I don't know, foot and mouth. So you three different people, and you wrote three different times. So it's a total of nine. If a person is successful in all nine, itamchi gavra v'itamchi kameh. This person becomes a professional for all other kameh because he did three successful tries. And v'itamchi kameh, and these three that he did are also become tried and tested to be used by everybody. I don't know if, let's say, he had some failures in the middle. Let's say he has nine successes, but he has 900,000 failures. You know, does it ruin it? Or even does one ruin it? I'm not sure. There's always the law of averages. You know, a guy who's going to write 50 kameas and then his subjects become healed, you're going to have to say that some of them would be healed anyways. At least the skeptic would say that. So, yesh la'ayin, if... Does it mean that you have three successes with no failures? Or does it mean just punked out of your 100 tries, you have three successes? My guess would be that it's got to be three successes with no failures. But I don't know. I'm sure it's spoken about. Says the Gemara. So that's what Rapapa said is pshita to him. So itam choy gavri, itam choy kameya. Tlasa kameya, three kameyas. Litlasa gavri, to three people, but each one was only one time. So you had the influenza guy, you had the corona guy, and you had the foot and mouth guy, and you healed all three with using three different formulas. The halacha is gavri itamchi. Then this guy becomes a professional. He's a professional kameh writer, but kameh lo itamchi. The amulet does not. Not one of the amulets become tried and tested. They all remain subject to further FDA approval. Chad kameya litlasa gavri, one kameya to three different people. So now it's the same doctor, or which doctor? Chad kameya litlasa gavri, one kameya to three different people. So three people with corona come, and he heals all three with the same formula. So in that case, the formula works. The formula now becomes tried and tested to be used by everybody. Kameya lecha. Where I lost the place. The kameh becomes professional, tried and tested, but gavra leitamchi. The guy does not become a professional because maybe he hit upon one lucky strike. But until he has three under his belt, three different formulas under his belt, he's not going to be considered a professional. Bayra papa. Telasa kameh. Three different kamehs. Lechad gavra. My, what's the din? So this one guy, Mamish, had a bad year. January, he had the flu. February, he had corona. March, he had foot and mouth. All three times he went to his kameh doctor, all three times it worked. So it's three kamehs for one person. My, what's the din? Kameya vaday lo yitamchay. Neither of these three different formulas will be considered tried and tested because they were only used once. What about the guy? What about the doctor? Gavra yitamchay or lo yitamchay? I don't want to call him a doctor, we'll call him the Kabbalist. The Kabbalist in this case, does he become a certified professional or not? Mi amrinan ha asile. Do we say that lamaisa he healed? And therefore, yes, it's three different people, it's mother. Or do we say that this guy's mazel is that it listens to kameos, but lav davka, you, Kabbalist, are good enough to help a regular person. Maybe you chanced upon the one guy whose soul is so sensitive to these things that you're taka able to heal him. But if you go next to a standard person who has a more normal soul, you will not be able to heal him. So can you get your license by using just one person? And the Gemara says, teiku. Frankly, Gemara kashi ibayluhu kamen, shayla ibayluhu kamen, yesh behem mishim kedusha, idilma ein behem mishim kedusha. Do they have kedusha or not? Lamai hilchasa, says the Gemara, with regards to what's the halacha. If you say it's because you want to save it from a fire, the halacha is, are you allowed to save it from a fire if you see if a house is going up? Chas v'shalom. And then you know there's a kameh inside. You know there's a sefer Torah inside. You're allowed to save it on Shabbos. What happens if there's a kameh inside? Are you allowed to carry it to a chatzar on Shabbos? And we're going to see in Perek Kol Kisvei, in the 16th Perek, certain heterim, not for the arises, but certain heterim of the Rabbanans that they waived in the case of a fire and Kisvei HaKodesh. So are you allowed to go ahead and save a kameh as well? So, says the Gemara, so, in other words, generally, you're not allowed to if you don't have a chatzar, if you don't have Erev Chatzeres, you're not allowed to take from your house to the chatzar. For example, an apartment building, you're not allowed to go from your apartment to the hall, or if you're in a hotel, unless you make an Erev Chatzeres. So what happens if you don't make an Erev Chatzeres? Even if you don't make an Erev Chatzeres, but with regards to saving objects from a fire, saving Kisvei HaKodesh from a fire, you're allowed to. What about a kameh, an amulet? Says the Gemara, Tashma habrachas vakameh, and afa bishyesh behen oisias. So a brachas is like, you know, a bencher or some sort of pad that they had all the brachas on in the house. So, you know, a bencher. And vakameh, or other amulets, afa bishyesh behen oisias, even if they're full of Hashem's name, an yonis harbe in many psukim shabbatayra, nevertheless, ein matzilan asun mepenei hadalaika. They did not waive the restriction. You cannot save it from a fire. And the strafim b'makayman, let them be burned. So, there's your answer. El inyan geniza. The Gemara says, rather, he was discussing with regards to geniza. What happens if it's worn out? What do you do after it's worn out? Do you have to put it in geniza, or you can just throw it in the garbage? Toshima. The Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. Hayakasav al yodei sakelim. If you have Hashem's name written on the handles of, let's say, the handles of a sefer Torah. Well, actually, that's not a good raya. The handles of a keli. Va'al kari hamita, or on the foot of a bed. So if you're going to throw out the bed, you're good. You should cut them off. Put in geniza these shemas of Hashem. So certainly this kameh also. Yes, you're not allowed to just throw it out. El rather, the Gemara says, his question was, likanes bahem bebesa kisei. Are you allowed to go into the bathroom with them? My. What's the din? Yesh behem mishim kedusha, and it would be forbidden, ba'asar. Adilma, ein behem mishim kedusha, ein behem kedusha, v'sharin, it would be mutter. Toshima, the Gemara proves it, but the Gemara proves it from our Mishnah, because it says you're not allowed to go out with a kameh that is not a professional. But a professionals, you are allowed to. Toshima, v'loi b'kameh, v'zman she'en min ha'mumcha. Ha'min ha'mumcha, but if it was from a professional, nafik, you would be allowed to go out. Now, v'i amet kameh, yesh behem mishum kedusha. if you say that the kameyas have kedusha and you're not allowed to go out to the, into them with it, to the bathroom, so then how is it mutter to walk out with it on Shabbos? Maybe zimnin to mitzvah lebeis akisa, you're going to need to the bathroom. Va'asil asivinu dalat amas b'rishas rabbim, and you might come to carry 4 amas in rishas rabbim. That's the Gemara's kasha. So it must be, it's Gemara's raya, I apologize. So it must be that it is mutter to go into the bathroom with them. Says the Gemara, what's the raya? No, maybe we're talking about a kameya that is made up of herbs and spices and roots and other foreign objects, but not. Go ahead.
Why is it that refuah was like, they have the whole issue of like, you know, we're concerned about grinding up herbs or whatever for refuah on Shabbos, but for a kameya it's okay?
That's an interesting question. Why don't they have Xerish? Without knowing how they make ikrin, maybe they don't grind it. Maybe it's like the actual root of the ginger plant, or, you know, but there's no grinding involved.
If we're going to say that kameya for who is okay, like you can even carry it on Shabbos, which is an Isser Malacha.
No, no, you're only carrying it because you're wearing it. You're not allowed to carry it. There's no heter for the diorisis here. They're being makel that you can wear it, and there's no chashash that you'll pull it off and things like that.
It seems like, I mean, it's sort of the classic issue that, like, a lot of the refuah that we do, like, it doesn't involve, right? Like, you take a Tylenol or something on Shabbos, but...
Well, no, Tylenol does. Tylenol comes from crushed up things. It's you're eating a pill that has been, at one point, something, you know.
Right, but you're not doing any tochei.
Well, you're not, but it was done in the. It was done. I'm saying it was already done. So you're eating something that had been crushed.
Right, but I mean that. But if it's not done on Shabbos, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but that I hear. I'm saying, if the gezeira is, you might come to do it. I mean, you're right. Nowadays, we're very. If you were to give me, you know. If I had a headache and I didn't have any aspirin, I would not be able to go to the field and make my own aspirin. That's true, even if you give me the correct plants, or however it's made. But it's true that nowadays we don't know how to do it ourselves, but nevertheless, it's not saying that somebody does. I'm saying somebody's doing it somewhere on the planet, in China.
Because it seems that they're being much more Michael for the Kameas than they are for other...
Yeah, I hear your question about Gzer Shemi Yitzchaku. It's very possible that they don't need to grind these things. That would be the direction I start. They just put the root in there by itself, and there's no grinding, maybe. It's an interesting question, I like it. It's a good question. What happened to Shem and Kzeira? Okay, V'hatanya, the Gemara says, let's finish the Amud. V'hatanya, how could you say that? It says, Echad commercial Ksav, Echad commercial Ikrin, whether it's a Ksav one, whether it's an Ikrin one. Ella says, the Gemara, Rabbi Maizkin, V'chayil Shiesh Bei Sakana. Maybe it's only if this is Sakana. The Gemara says, V'hatanya, Echad Chayil Shiesh Bei Sakana, V'chayil Chayil Shiesh Bei Sakana. No, it says, even if it's for a headache. Ella says, the Gemara, that's why, so the Gemara again, we're trying to figure out why it's mutter to go out into Rosh Hashanah with it. You might come to go into the bathroom with it. Says the Gemara, no, it must be that it's not b'ksav. The Gemara says, it's not true. It says, even b'ksav. Well, it must be that it's a chel sheish b'sakara. So what can you do? Gemara says, no, even a chel sheish b'sakara. Ella says, the Gemara, kevin demasi, since it heals, afal gav denukit lebiyadi nami shapridami. Even if you're holding it in your hand, it is considered, it's not considered carrying. It's considered a tachshit. So there's two versions. Okay, we'll leave it. Says the Gemara, v'hatanya. So therefore, says the Gemara at this point, thinks, even if you were to carry it in your hand, since it's healing you as it's in your hand, it's considered a tachshit. It's considered something that you're wearing. Says the Gemara, v'hatanya, based on the havamina of this Gemara at this point, this is a very big chiddush. You can hold something in your hand, but it's acting, since it's helping your body, it's considered a tachshit. I'm just thinking like a similar thing. Let's say you had, let's say there was some sort of mitzias that you could hold a ball and either it would transmit heat, let's say you're cold and holding this ball would transmit heat to your body, or maybe vibrations or something like that. You know, you're holding a thing and I'm just trying to think of something that's a modern equivalent. And it would be, at this Havamina the Gemara, if you were to carry that, that wouldn't be considered carrying because it's helping your whole body. And that's the way to, since it's helping your whole body, it's not carrying. You're wearing it in your hand. That's the Gemara's Havamina at this point. So the Gemara the knocks it off. The Gemara says, but you can't do that. It says, Beferish, you can't carry it in your hand. Ella says, the Gemara, the reason why we're not concerned for you to go into the bathroom is because it's covered in leather. But you want to know if you have the kameya that's not covered in leather, are you allowed to go into the bathroom? We don't know. Says the Gemara of Hari Tfilin. Tfilin is covered in or, the mechupa or, v'tanya hanichnas the basic kisei chayu, tfilin. Somebody goes to the bathroom, he's got to take off his tfilin first, b'richuk arba amas, 4 amas away, v'nichnas, and then he should go in. And the Gemara says, no, there's because on the tfilin itself, the leather itself has kedusha, has a shin on it. Has mishim shin da amar abaya, shin shal tfilin, alocha mishim sinai. The shin dalad and yod that we have on our tefillin, which spells shakai, those are the halacha l'mashim misinai. Dalad is in the back and yod is on your arm. All right, so we'll stop over here for the day. And okay, that is basically that.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Have a great one.